In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. Like us, download us, subscribe to us, wherever you get your podcast. Look, Evan, that's real simple here. I've just basically had enough. Tarek Skubal is not even remotely a $400 million pitcher. There's no way in the world that the Tigers or anybody else should give him a $400 million contract. I can't believe that this number just comes out of the blue, and then it's repeated like it's some kind of mantra, when in reality there's no precedent for it, no common sense behind it, especially in baseball at this point. And to me, it's like a figment of an imagination. And yet it's repeated over and over again, not, just by radio talk show hosts. And some of us, let's be honest, are more baseball-centric than others.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So they get theirs, and they'll hear from the quote-unquote national guys. And really, man, I expect that from John Heyman, all right, because he's basically – spoon-fed by Scott Boras. I mean, I've always gotten that impression, and I'm not the only one.
Nope.
And, to come out and say, immediately after the season, $250 million apart, based on what? There's nobody making offers right now to Skubal. He's not a free agent.
I know.
So, and I guarantee you the Tigers aren't thinking that. And then, and Evan Petzold does a great job at the Free Press. I've been in this situation before. I'm not, trying to, knock a fellow writer or something. I don't even know the guy. So it has nothing to do with that, anything personal.
Most Evans are good people.
Yeah, there you go. And he does a good job. I have nothing against him. But, to put it in the fifth graph of some story last November and then come out and say, well, it was actually 5 years and $100 million that the Tigers offered in their non-competitive offer. Well, who the fuck said it wasn't a non-competitive offer?
Yeah, $100 million sounds good.
And if somebody said that on, his representation, then you got to make that clear. It becomes a big firestorm and then makes it look like the Tigers are – idiots for not giving him whatever he wants, which a lot of fans do because they want to keep him. So, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to present the facts of this, okay? Just present the facts and how fucking ridiculous $400 million. If the Tigers gave Skubal $400 million, straight out contract, I gave him 8 years, $400 million. It would be the stupidest motherfucking signing in the history of the world. Okay?
You're not wrong.
And, I'm just saying that. And I'll give you what, the absolute offer that they should make and how I think they should handle this. All right? First of all, I'll give you a history of salaries, right? Highest paid salary in the history of baseball. for a single season. Not straight salary, not the deferment bullshit.
Right, getting paid in
like
2042.
Like what Scott Burrows pulled a long time ago with Scherzer to make it sound like he got a lot more.
With the Nationals.
With the Nationals. He was paid $15 million by the Nationals this year.
Yeah.
That's how fucking ridiculous his contract was.
That's 15 from the Blue Jays.
And that $15 million that he got, if he had it a long time ago when his he would have been able to invest it and it would be worth a lot more than $15 million now.
Yep.
That's why deferred payments are basically a ruse. I don't know what Ohtani was doing, but it's $68 million for a long time. Bless him. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
You know,
unless he gets into that gambling a little bit.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be fine. But you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you can make the contract. So this is what we got. We got to make the contract $400 million now because somehow somebody pulled out the $400 million number.
Is that?
Yeah, no. Seriously, if you gave him $400 million for 8 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're paying him $50 million for 8 years. He's going to be 30 at that time till he's 38 years old. There's only been one player in history gotten straight $50 million a year deal, and that's Juan Soto at $51
million. Yeah.
50, and Juan Soto is a young position player.
Which is crazy. He's already on his, like, third team, but, yeah, it's wild.
But there's a big difference between a position player.
Yeah, that plays every day.
And a pitcher who throws 13% of your innings.
And with Tarek Skubal, a guy that, let's be honest, you can't count on him to go past 100 pitches. You just can't. I don't know if that's a him choice, if that's an agent choice, if that's a team choice. But regardless, when you need him the most is in those postseason games, and if he comes out after the sixth inning, what are we really paying you for, right? To what, keep us in it till the seventh? And that's kind of crazy to me because you go and see what the Dodgers did with Blake Snell, and they paid him almost $37 million, and Yamamoto, and both those guys seem willing to pitch.
Well, $37 million is different than $50 million, and if you look at Snell's deal, it's not for that long.
Right.
It's under $200 million in its total value. Corbin Burns got $201 million. Corbin Burns has been as good a pitcher as Tarek Skubal, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Same thing. Zach Wheeler, the ace of the aces when it comes down to postseason.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me, too, because when you talk about you'll hear talking heads or fans or say, well, maybe he'll give a hometown discount, quote-unquote. And then it makes me sit there and think, what the hell is a hometown discount? Because if you ask me, the Players Association is not going to allow this guy that could, quote-unquote, dictate and set a market, take less to be a Tiger. And when you read between the lines in his quotes where he's like, I have nothing to do with this, you do have something to do with
it. Well, that's the other thing. He's going to have to take some responsibility for it.
Right.
That you know, his agent, he made a choice with that agent. His agent's trying to set a market, and I really don't have any problem with it.
Absolutely not.
You know, it's a strategy that I think is absolute horseshit. But it works.
But it's the cost of doing business in baseball, isn't it?
You know what? No, not really. Not really. All right?
Because every year you see the next biggest contract.
No, man. You know, it's not like that. It's not like any of this shit, okay? It's like this, okay? If you want to give him a deal that's too good to refuse.
Yeah.
All right? Really. You do this. The Tigers would offer him $250 million for 5 years, an extension.
Yeah.
All right, and that would you know, take away the whole problem of the labor stoppage. Would pay him $50 million, which would be by far the most a pitcher's ever made in a season. Nobody would have to hold any fucking benefits ever for Tarek Skubal. He would have money to last him, you know, 18 lifetimes, and his family, everybody,
oh, yeah,
be taken care of many times over. And it would be actually something that would be reasonable because you could see where he would be a good pitcher, even if he may tail off some, you know, from this phenomenal level he's had the last couple years. You can see where he would still be reasonably good, and it would allow the Tigers to set their payroll in a reasonable manner and build around him to a degree, which is what would happen. No, but you know, then you would hear they're $150 million apart, and that is where I have a problem with it. Okay? No pitcher's ever gotten a contract that's worth that on an average. Yamamoto's contract, Gerrit Cole's, those guys are not getting any more than that. There's been, you know, in terms of a single season, there have been a couple pitchers that have gotten over $40 million. Scherzer and Verlander late in their careers.
Oh, like with the Mets?
With one-year deals, right. And Zach Wheeler, that contract he signed, he's over $40
million. Yeah, with the
Phillies. Jacob DeGrom at $40 million.
Yeah, that was the Rangers that signed
right.
That, right?
And, you know, and it shows you where the starting pitchers are because the year they won it, he didn't pitch.
No, he was out with an arm injury.
Okay,
right?
Wheeler's out with an arm injury. Burns is out with an arm injury. All right, so, you know, Tarek Skubal is a pitcher who has – there's always the possibility of an arm injury. I know he's been through Tommy John surgery. He went through another, you know, related type of thing that wasn't Tommy John surgery. But he's been through this a couple times. So there is in 13% of the innings. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt that his, you know, and I don't blame Skubal for this. I don't blame Hinch for this. I blame the mindset of baseball that you can have a pitch, six innings, division deciding game, and, you know, it's like, hey, you know, start doing muscle arms and celebrating because you went out after six innings. Or you went out after seven innings, but it was particularly in a game five. Verlander, and this was an ancient history, Verlander went nine innings and he went eight innings in game fives. He threw over 120 pitches in multiple postseason games. So did Max Scherzer. All right, so this 99 pitch, he emptied his tank. That's bullshit, man.
But
okay, I mean, it's bullshit in terms of if you want $400 million. It's not bullshit the way the game is played today. You understand that. But you don't try to equate the best pitcher and say he's worth the value of the best position players. There's nothing in evidence that suggests that's true.
Yeah, unless you're Ohtani and you're also hitting, then sure, it's worth it, but...
No, Otani's a whole different thing.
He's a unicorn.
Soto's a whole different thing. Vlad Guerrero's a whole different thing because they're position players.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you cannot. And what happened? Skubal, I believe this is true, right? He pitches. Did they win that game? He was so good in for six innings.
I don't think they won any of his playoff starts this year.
Yeah, and did they win the other game that he was so good in?
No.
So what does that tell you about actually getting – and people say, well – you know, I mean, that's not his fault. They didn't have a good bullpen. Their hitters were shitty. How can you sit there and say that? Well, here's the thing, man. If you're paying him all his fucking money, how are you going to get position players and everything?
Yeah.
Now, that's a whole different story.
Unless Chris comes back as his dad, I don't really see that happening. But you mentioned Max Scherzer, and when he was here with the Tigers, I remember him coming out of a game, a playoff game, in like the seventh inning. He said he was spent, yada, yada. And then once he got his money, it seemed like Max Scherzer was pitching complete games with the Washington Nationals. I don't know if that has to do with, hey, I got my money, I'm ready to let it all out. I don't know if Skubal is similar to that in any regard at all. Because wasn't Max's agent Scott Boras as well?
Yeah, well, that's a big situation actually in this.
And I wonder if it's ever going to get to a situation like Max Scherzer and Mike Ilitch where they offered Scherzer a pretty damn good deal. Max and Scott came out and said, this is a bullcrap deal. We don't want this deal.
No, they didn't say that.
And then Mike came out and was like, that's it. We're done, right?
No, that isn't what happened.
I could have sworn that they put out a statement saying that
the
it was
Tigers
a lowball
did.
Offer.
No, the Tigers did.
Saying that they scoffed at the lowball offer.
There wasn't a lowball offer.
But isn't that why Max?
No.
I'm not saying whether or not the money.
No,
was
let's get. No,
there.
No. Again, man, I'm not. You know, standing in judgment of you on this or whatever. Honestly, man, you know, like it.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Running this world, it's, you know, a big part of what I do. What happened is the Tigers, it was very similar to this.
Yes.
Although there wasn't like $400 million fever out there and, you know, a couple writers being spoon-fed a bunch of bullshit, and which I don't really have a problem with it because I've been fed a bunch of bullshit too and used it to get scoops.
Sure.
You know, because that's your job, is to fed out information. So I'm not being judgmental that way. I've been in that shoes. So you're not, you know, some radio host who's never been a fucking beat writer. This is what I would tell you.
That's it. Okay.
Pardon?
I'm looking at the story.
Yeah. So
they said he rejected a substantial offer.
This is the background of Scott Boras with the Tigers. Okay. Scott Boras was Maglio's agent. Scott Boras was Johnny Damon's agent. Scott Boras was Prince Fielder's agent. And Scott Boras and Mike Ilitch developed this kind of thing where Scott Boras would go over Dombrowski's head. I know this for a fucking fact, okay? Go over his head and go to the owner because Mike Ilitch, you know, would listen. Now, this was an era long before you had all the analytics that were in the game, especially the Tigers organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole thing with Boras and his brochures and, you know, putting all these things together, it got into Mike Ilitch's ear. And that's why you ended up with Prince Fielder. I know for a definite fact that Dave Dombrowski had no interest in signing Prince Fielder. And I can say with some certainty that there's no way Jim Leland wanted to move Miggy to third base, okay, to make room for Prince Fielder. It made no sense, okay, to do that. And pay Prince Fielder that money. Yet, a couple weeks after, I was informed that the Tigers had no interest in Fielder, and it wasn't some bullshit thing or whatever.
Right.
All of a sudden, they signed him. And Scott Boras is standing right next, sitting right next to Mike Ilitch on the left side of this podium up there, you know, that Tiger room. And you got Dombrowski and you've got Leland sitting there. And Mike Ilitch gets up there and he says he knows more about the organization than I do. And I'm sitting there looking at their GM and I'm looking at their manager. One's in the Hall of Fame already.
Uh-huh.
The other one's going to be.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're sitting there looking at him and it's like, hey, man, that was just totally disrespectful. to this guy has superseded himself into their organization as an agent. Okay, fine, man. For Scott Boras, hey, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's representing Prince Fielder. He got, you know, a one-dimensional player who, you know, wasn't in the best shape all the time. A big, you know, shitload of money. So, hey, that's good, right? All right? So, but it wasn't good for the Tigers, and somehow Dombrowski got them out of that by trading for Ian Kinsler.
Which is crazy. You never thought that would
happen. Yeah, right. Johnny Damon was at a point in his career where he couldn't throw, he couldn't do this and that.
Couldn't do anything.
And the Tigers ended up signing him after, I know for sure they had no interest in him, their baseball operations people. Know that they had no interest. And you know what? Next thing you know, there's a news conference, and cowboy up, Johnny Damon's coming to Detroit with his noodle arm. You know, actually didn't do that bad, but
he was okay. But
you know, the team it didn't make any kind of impact.
No,
you know, and okay, so and then Scherzer, and then he had the Maglio thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he became a Singlio, right?
No, I remember.
Oh, you know, he's playing, he's hitting like 270 or whatever, but he's got no home runs in like 30, 40 games. He's got like two home runs at the All-Star break. And Leland says, well, I'm going to, you know, sit him for a while. And next thing you know, Scott Boras is, you know, yakking about how they're doing this to keep the incentives, you know, from his contract out. And Leland, you know, he goes, well, I respect Scott Boras or whatever, but basically said he's got to shut up. It's not his,
call.
Yeah. You know, his call at all. So he had superseded himself so much in there, okay, so that when it came down to Scherzer ultimately – the Tigers were in rebuilding mode. It didn't make sense for them to go long-term with Scherzer, to be honest with you, at that point. They should have, you know, not, you know, signed Miggy to the contract they did. They're carrying V-Mart. They're doing all this stuff.
They had signed Verlander, too.
Verlander was under contract, but when they signed him, it made sense to actually.
Yeah, he was making 25.7 in that year, and the story I'm reading said that they offered Max just under that. They weren't going to pay him more than what Justin Verlander.
Well, it was 144 for six.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Which at the time was a fair offer for Scherzer, and which ultimately, if you take the deferred money out and talk about what I'm talking about, where you got money, that makes you money. You know, any idiot knows that.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be a, you know, Jim Cramer to know fucking that. You know, you can be like a sport writer dumbass like me and know that. So, you know, they move on from it, and then you got the whole thing with Max Scherzer, you know, sitting there, and finally, you know, all of a sudden, I was stunned by this. Stunned by it. The Tigers released a statement. It's spring training. We're not going to sign Max Scherzer. And not only that, it's the only time I know where a team laid out what it offered. You know, that didn't come from Dave.
The statement's awesome. The Detroit Tigers have made a substantial long-term contract extension offer to Max Scherzer that would have placed him among the highest-paid pitchers in baseball. And the offer was rejected. I remember seeing that. I don't remember where I was, but for some reason I remember being in a hotel room and seeing that and being like, oh, my God. And then I remember that same offseason, Jeff Rieger and myself, we went out to the winter meetings, and Jim Leland was like, they're not re-signing Max Scherzer. It's not happening. And there was other reporters that were like, no, our sources are telling us completely different. Jeff and I are like, the freaking manager just told us this. Like,
no, I knew that too, because Mike Ilitch put his foot down.
Yeah.
He said enough of this shit. Okay, he had enough of being duped. He had enough of his people being disrespected. And he had enough of like making a fair offer and bidding against himself, because there's nobody bidding at that time. And if you remember, it turned out well for Washington. Turned out great for Scherzer. And the Tigers were in rebuilding mode. They never should have signed him long term, actually. But the truth of the matter is that it was like until like January or whatever before he finally got this deal. And then it was exaggerated how much more it was than the actual contract he got, because it tried to make his representation look better. Save face, so to speak. So, and look, Boras, what he's done has been successful, very successful. Like I said, I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, whether you think it's a good tactic, bad tactic, whatever. But it is what it fucking is. okay? So if you're the Tigers, you can't be idiots to this. The Tiger fans, you can't be idiots to this. Okay, I can't emphasize enough to you all out there that, you know, there's a lot of issues with the Tigers, and I'm not going to get into all of them, where they're, you know, messed up in a lot of ways, and they need to get better. But and that includes some parts of their baseball operations here. But I have to say this, that when it comes into, you know, this particular situation, it isn't a matter of whether Chris Ilitch is or the Ilitches are cheap. Okay, and you know, just to give you an idea, you know, I mean, they're worth like $3.8 million or whatever. What are you going to go to the bank, you know, and people think and write a check for $400 million, which is a big chunk of your $3.8 million? Like, you know, go up to the credit union and do it or something? Man, that's bullshit. You got to understand, and it's up to people in the media who know what the fuck is going on to fucking present that, not to present some bullshit in the New York Post that they're $250 million aside. And I like John Heyman. I don't know him real well. I know he's Danny Nobler's friend, and Danny Nobler and I were good friends, and he was always hanging out with John Heyman, and I like John Heyman. Okay, so it isn't about that. This is a fundamental disagreement about how you fucking do things, okay? I mean, I understand it to a degree. Like I said, I've been spoon-fed. I can't even begin to tell. How do you think I knew all that shit?
Right.
That I got scoops on. So it's, you know, it's not about, you know, that. It's about like, hey, man, you're going to put this pressure on the Tigers, you know, to do something that's absolutely fucking stupid. And if they don't do it, then they're the idiots.
Well,
now, somebody has to raise their hand in the room here and say this is bullshit.
Yeah, in
okay.
my opinion, that person has to be number 29, because it goes back to me saying where he was like, I have no control. You have control over this, crapping on the team that you currently play for. That you have control over. You can say to your agent, hey, we're not doing any stories about this. We'll worry about the contract when it comes, but we're not going to dig our hole here in Detroit, because he is still a fan favorite. And
a big-time fan favorite.
Usually I'm team player, but on this one, I'm all on the Tigers' side. I do not think that you give you don't back up the Brinks.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Truck for a guy that's not going past 6 innings.
Well, that's the other thing. The 6-inning factor.
It kills me.
I think a lot of Tiger fans, and especially in the aftermath of what has been by Yamamoto, that has changed the view of things a great deal.
Well, yeah, because as fans, we're told that pitchers don't pitch like that anymore, so don't think you're going to get Randy Johnson with the Diamondbacks. That's exactly what Yamamoto did.
Well, it's what Madison Bumgarner did.
Yeah.
That's what Justin Verlander did.
Kurt Schilling. All these guys.
Yeah, well, you know, there was no bloody sock moment like that.
Well, he had some ketchup in
his sock. And that was not that long ago. This isn't a story of Mickey Lolich and some of the
it's in the 2000s.
Old-timey Tiger fans.
I'm talking Denny McClain in 1968.
Right, where he gets 5 cortisone shots to go out and pitch.
But I look at Yamamoto, and it seems like from everything I've read and watched on TV, this is a guy that literally would go to Dave Roberts and say, I can pitch. When he warmed up in Game 7, he was like, I don't know if I can since, you know, I just started the day before. But then he gets out there and he's throwing and he's like, all right, I'm good to go. More than one inning. I don't think we would ever see that out of Tarek Skubal. And maybe it's because of the bulldog pitcher that he is. But maybe throw 98 in the sixth instead of 101. Don't give everything
you got. Well,
I
don't blame Skubal or Hinch as much as, you know. First of all, Yamamoto comes from the Japanese system.
Okay, let's go find the next one of him and spend $300 million.
Yeah, but again, that's a question about Pacific Rim and whether the Tigers ever have a chance to get a pitcher or a player from the Pacific Rim countries as a Midwest city.
I don't know if you're trying to uproot your whole family to go live in the Midwest.
Well, no, it's about like first of all, the West Coast is a lot closer to Japan.
Sure. The flights are easier and everything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When I mentioned that, somebody said, well, it's bullshit. It's only an hour longer from Detroit to from L.A. to Tokyo.
An hour's an hour, man.
I have no fucking idea, nor do I fucking care. I just know that from experience, the West Coast or maybe a traditional, particularly the Yankees, have a lot more appeal. The players from the Pacific Rim.
Sure, okay. And you got to imagine that's just based on fanfare. Nostalgia.
Well, it's based on first of all, Asian pop. It's located. It's far more Asian pop. We have a pretty good sized and prominent Asian population here in these, like L.A. It's not like Seattle.
Story about that. My wife's aunt is Japanese, and she's from Japan. Huge Ohtani fan. So during COVID, you remember those games where there was only a few fans in the stadium, not every row, but the Angels came to town and we hadn't seen her aunt and uncle in a long time because of COVID. She didn't want to go out or anything. Who's sitting front row for that Ohtani game? Her. I spotted her. I go to my wife Ashley. I'm like, there's your aunt. So you're right. I mean, the fanfare is crazy for it.
Also, if you look at how much more attendance, you know, for example, Ohtani, wherever he shows up, the attendance goes up.
100%.
Does that happen with Skubal, particularly in Detroit?
No, because if you ask me, like, Ohtani's one of those guys that, and I'm spoiled because of where I work, but I'll pay to go watch him play anytime he's here. Skubal's not that for me because... Is there a threat of him throwing a no-hitter every game? It's not like winning Justin Verlander during his MVP season. He was going out there. You're like,
well, Justin Verlander threw 3 fucking no-hitters in his career.
Exactly. But Skubal's pitched, what, 1 complete game?
1 complete game.
That's concerning to me. And
well, it's not, again, it's about the way the game's set up. But if the game is set up that way, all right, you don't value the starting pitcher, you know, to the degree that you valued them in the past.
Not at all.
Okay, you don't give them more money than the top position players. And if you give them a contract that's big, you don't give them a contract, you know, like say the $40 million or whatever, you don't give them that contract on some super long-term deal, especially when it's going to pull them to the age of 38.
Well, yeah, because then you're in a Miguel Cabrera situation again. Miguel Cabrera did more for this team in this city than in my entire lifetime, period, one player has ever done. And at the end of his career, fans couldn't get him out of here quick enough because he wasn't producing up to the standard of what MVP Miguel Cabrera could do. that's not going to be any different for Tarek Skubal. The older a pitcher gets, it doesn't usually mean the better he's going to get.
Well,
right?
the truth of the matter is, and I don't know how it's going to work. I mean, Schilling was an example of somebody that in his 30s got better. You know, JV had some big years late. So did Scherzer.
Clemens.
There have been some. Well, Clemens, let's not go there.
I snuck it in. Okay.
You know.
Well, like Randy Johnson. He was.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Pitched to what, 42
years
old?
You don't want to.
Some guys just
but
got
the,
it.
The chances are that he pitched his two best seasons already.
But don't you also think that pitchers like that are guys, this is a lack of a better term, but have low leverage throwing motions where it doesn't look like they're putting their
everything into
it? I don't
know. It's impossible to come to any conclusion on that. You know, a great book Jeff Passan wrote about the arm.
Yeah.
You know, I would suggest to anybody to read it because nobody knows what's going on with the human arm. It's so complex. You know, they figured out the elbow and the ulnar and that pretty well, but that's a long surgery and a long recovery. But you know, the shoulder blade, you know, different things.
All the tendons in your arm.
Yeah, it's very unpredictable and. The pitching motions are all really nice now. They used to be funky, and some of those guys threw funky would pitch forever, and the guys with the perfect motion break down all the time. So it's really hard to come to any conclusions about it. One thing is questionable about pitch count. The pitchers are now asked, the starters, from the moment they get out there to go 100% out. They don't want them to take their leave something in the tank. Like JV would come out throwing 95, and then at the
last then at the ninth inning he's hitting 101.
Yeah, right. They don't want that anymore. But there is an element of truth to the old school baseball thing here when it comes to the postseason. All right, and this is where with Skubal, it is in question. And again, it's not his fault. He's been geared that way. It's not Hinch's fault. He's been geared that way at this point. That's what they do. All right. It's like, hey, who would you rather have pitch that seventh inning with them with that lead, Skubal or Kyle Finnegan?
I'm going Skubal.
Yeah, right. Who else would you want on the mound? Like when the Dodgers and they were finishing the game off, who did you want on the mound? Yamamoto.
Yeah, him, and I mean Snell came into that.
Yeah,
game
who did you want when the Giants won? And did you want
Baumgartner?
So I mean, there is a point, where you've got to break out of that. That you're, setting him. What, he threw 193 innings, I think, this year. He hasn't gotten to the 200 inning point yet in the regular season, where you have to break out of that mode and start to think like. You're, playing in the American Legion or, a travel tournament or something for a national championship. I don't know. I used American Legion because that's what I played in a long time ago. But, and you're trying to win this tournament. Now, Yamamoto, he pitched in that national tournament they have in Japan. They use those pitchers 170 pitches and shit. They don't really give a shit. It's this big event in Japan.
It also seems like the players don't care and they want to do it.
Yeah. So, they kind of understand, the different dynamics of it. And, this idea, because if the guy goes over a pitch count, his fucking arm is going to fall off. That might be taking it too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer that an injury is going to happen. Regardless, right? Some people say, well, if you took him out or this or that, like ACL stuff, like that's not a
you're not
injury.
Dan Quinn leaving your quarterback out there when you're getting your ass kicked.
Exactly. I mean, they happen, and that's part of it. Now, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical, and I know it's never going to happen, but like, let's say the money is equal, right? You can give this huge chunk to Tarek Skubal, or you could give that huge chunk to three or four different guys really bolster your
team.
That's
the question.
What would you choose? I would choose those three or four.
It's real simple to me, okay? It's real simple. This isn't a complex situation as far as I'm concerned. Skubal's on the team this year. You don't trade him in the offseason. That's bullshit. You're not going to get equal value for him. You have a contending team. The first thing to do is, when you have a situation, is acknowledge the fucking situation. You have a contending team. You've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Your division is not the best. You have a budding star that you can put into the lineup. And I'm writing a column about this. There are a ton of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Surrounding that team and, you know, surrounding that one particular player and other things. That's McGonagall and some others that are coming up. So you're definitely a contending team. So what you do, you figure, okay, you got Scooble for one more year. It's going to be like $20 million. So you're going to – Torres is leaving. They're not going to pay him.
No.
They got nothing but second baseman. Finally, you don't have to pay Alex Cobb and take $15 million this year and throw it down the fucking toilet.
give it to the city of Detroit.
Give it to the city of Detroit.
You know what?
It's somewhere floating around Detroit River, a bunch of dollar bills.
The only thing I got to say about that is I give Alex Cobb full credit because, my man, he did try to pitch for this team.
Oh, absolutely.
He gave everything he had.
He did.
And he just couldn't do
but,
it.
But, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
But whoever worked him out for his physical needs to go be reassess themselves.
If the Tigers are lucky enough, Jack Flaherty says, I don't want my $20 million.
I don't think that's going to happen.
What, you don't think he's going to take his $20
million? No, I don't think he's opting out. I don't think he would get that on the open market.
I don't know. Spotek, I was looking. They got him like 3 years, $72
million. Well, hell, if you can get that, then leave.
Yeah,
well,
then leave. But, you know, I like Flaherty, too.
So do I, but I felt like he went back to the pitcher that he was before.
But people don't realize that $25 million was among the top 10 salaries among starting pitchers in Major League Baseball in 2025. That's how fucked up the $400 million for Tarek Skubal is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Burns only got like 200. Max Fried, $218 million.
Yeah.
All right? So, yeah. And that was with, and Snell, 182. And that's with those two teams saying, oh, we don't care if it doesn't have value. And they knew that when they signed him.
Oh, 100% they did.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we want these guys on our team. And they both came through for them. But, you know, Corbin Burns, come on, man. Corbin Burns is good as Skubal almost or whatever. And then, you know, I mean, what did that do for the Diamondbacks? How about Wheeler? You know, how do you think Dave Dombrowski feels about giving him that contract now? You know, it's like, hey, he got hurt and whatever. And like
I used him in the playoffs.
And like I said, man, you know, hey, you can talk about Seager and you can talk about Semien, but Jacob DeGrom didn't even pitch when the Rangers won it.
No, and that's what I always worry about with these guys that are throwing 100 and some miles an hour is that the arm goes. It does.
It's part of the deal.
It's on top of
you're only throwing 13% of your team's innings.
Right. Like arms are supposed to go like this, back and forth, left and right, not up and down, right? Like that's not what the arm was built for.
No.
And so you just put that much stress on it. Pat, it just worries me because you know how big of a fan I am for the Detroit Tigers. And the fact that, you know, their president of baseball operations, Scott Harris, doesn't believe in a Skubal window. Well,
you know, again, man.
Now's a great time to see if that window really exists, right?
I said this at the time. Well, you know this. When Scott Harris said that, you know, I winced. I just like, oh, gosh. You know, that is just really, really wrong because there was a Skubal window of opportunity. That's being misleading and making, not just folks like me and you in the media, but the fans, you know, like they're not idiots. They know exactly what's going on with that. And then to suggest that, I don't know, man, it was just, I felt that Scott, the one thing I feel about Scott Harris, he's pretty good at being transparent. We have a habit here, which is understandable, where we take every sentence they say at one of those news conferences.
Oh, yeah, and dissect that.
Dissect
it.
I do it, too.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, and then tell you what I think
but
about
that's
it.
That's what happens when you only talk three or four times a year.
Yeah, well, again, it gets down to, and I don't know what his relationship is like with the beat writers.
Yeah, neither do I.
You know, because of the... You know, I've had some, personal issues that have kept me away from knowing him the way I knew Al and the way I knew Dave and the way I, you know, all the GMs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what his relationship, because he does talk, I think, with the beat writers, you know, quite a bit on background.
Yeah.
You know, and my understanding is he's, you know, he's pretty transparent in a lot of ways. Although they get too secretive about their prospects sometimes. And, you know, it's like, come on, man. You know, why isn't this guy playing for a week? Well, you'll see it on our injury report at the end of the month. But that's just, that's minutia bullshit nobody really cares about except somebody like me who's sitting there like, well, how come Lorenzo didn't play for 3 days? You know, I'm the only one in the world who gives a flying fuck.
I think with Scott Harris, the fact that he is a young man, he's under 40 years old, he's running a professional team, and some people, and you know this better than most, want instant gratification, right? And rightfully so, because this team was the best team in baseball for half the year. Now, they did fall off, but you got to look to build on that. And when I heard him say at his press, well, we won more games than last year. And I'm like, oh, my God, you only won one more game.
Well, he had to get up there and try to defend the indefensible in a way, because what he did at the trade line are more or less what he didn't do.
Are you really happy with that kind of growth? To me, they had to advance one more series, which they didn't. But would it help with the hypothetical having more back-end arms or having another second baseman,
yes,
or whatever that might
be,
or a third baseman that can hit, you know, where the day and age of Zach McKinstry being an everyday player for you, those days have to be over, I feel.
Well, yes and no. Look, Kevin, it's like this. First of all, he badly miscalculated. All right.
Which happens to the best of them. It really does.
It does.
I understand that.
And the question is, what does he learn from this? You know, to me, I don't give a shit what he says at some news conference. I mean, he's pretty good about it and everything. And, you know, I've interviewed him on the air before, and I think he's pretty solid. And he's done a very good job in a certain way. Their drafts have been better, although I didn't like their draft last year, but you never know on that. The McGonagall Max Clark thing, even though you passed on Wyatt Langford, that could really pay, you know, super duper dividends down the road. And, you know, he picked up some guys like Holton, who've been huge, and McKinstry's another one. So he has had some acquisitions, but where he is not proven is, hey, you know, he got a team that was in total rebuilding mode. And he did all the things player development-wise and put the money into the product that needed to be done. Really done an outstanding job that way and brought them into age. But the rebuild went faster than what would have been anticipated when all of a sudden they turned it around. So he has to turn it around and adjust to what the reality is. They are contenders. They're a team that goes to spring training right now with the expectation that they can win the World Series. They're not one of these teams that says that and knows that it doesn't have a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Certainly to be in contention to win the World Series. And what you have to do is make veteran acquisitions that help your team. He's made one that was really good of a, you know, unrestricted free agent for 1 year, and that was Gleyber Torres. He helped the Tigers a lot. The trade for Verling ultimately worked out pretty well for them. He did a good job of flipping Flaherty and flipping Michael Lorenzen.
Yep.
Ho-Yu Lee, I think, is, you know, people talk about, you know, the second base position with Anderson. I think Ho-Yu Lee has more of an upside. He's a faster runner. He probably ultimately has more power, you know, that type of thing, and better defensively. So that, you know, could be a pretty good, you know, situation there. But, you know, you can't get Alex Cobb. You can't do at the trade deadline when you're clearly in the catbird seat and then pick up, you know, go shop. And I say this all the time, clear out aisle three at Aldi.
Yeah, and you're having tryouts in the middle of the season.
And you spend your entire summer looking for another Sean Gunther. You know, that's what they were looking for. You know,
I
mean, when they and every time they put one of these guys, because I got to watch the Toledo games, and it's like, you know, where did they get Tanner Rainey? I mean, I hadn't heard of Tanner Rainey in, like, you know, whatever.
Well, think about
10 years from now, when we go back and look at the roster for the 2025 Detroit Tigers, and you're going to look at some of these pitchers like, wait, who? Like Hernandez that came in and pitched at the end.
And, they, you know, they have these, like, big celebrations, like with Dietrich Enns gets a win in the middle of
Well, he went to
June
Central Michigan, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, we picked up this guy, and he gave us a boost. And when they traded for Paddock, I'm thinking, you know, then I looked at the Baseball Savant numbers, and I'm like, why?
Oh, him and Charlie Morton, who ended
and
up
then
not
Paul being- the Paul Sewald thing, and then you know the weird part of it is that you'll hear fans because it's been driven into their fucking head that the Tigers are cheap, Chris Ilitch is cheap, they're not going to ever spend money. They spent $10 million again. Threw it right down the toilets, floating out there in the Detroit River on players at the trade deadline. Paul Sewald.
I know.
What the fuck was that? I mean, first of all, you got to understand the Cleveland Guardians are not the idiots of the world.
No.
The Cleveland Guardians are really good at evaluating talent. They're not going to leave you Paul Sewald or Alex Cobb, all right? So you can pick at them.
Right. Oh, here, guys.
And, yeah, yeah.
We know we play you like 20 times this year. But
yeah, so
him.
here, man. You can spend your $17 million and throw it down the tubes on those two. You know, in the meantime, that's, you know, not that much more we're paying Ramirez to play for us.
I know.
So, you know, and the game is complex. You know, the way it's structured, the way the revenue comes in, you know, everything, every, and I don't know what the negotiating is going to be like at this next, you know, bargaining session, you know, it's because, you know, the whole salary cap, the union will do whatever it can to keep a salary cap from getting in there.
Oh, yeah.
The agents and all those, Scott Boras, I will give him credit for this. Part of the reason I think Tarek Skubal is so loyal to him is because he got Tarek Skubal a nice deal. You know, as a ninth-round pick, a Tommy John surgery guy, got him $350,000 bonus. That's big money for, you know, the where he was taken and his injury status. And that set him up, you know, pretty well. You know, it doesn't sound like it when you're talking $400 million and $350,000, but that bonus meant something. And somebody like Scoob was a solid guy. He's, you know, he's going to remember that that big-time agent had his interests. You know, or that agency that he's working for.
Sure.
I doubt Boras himself, you know.
Yeah, not at that time.
Yeah.
He is now.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably one of his, you know.
It's like going to Robert Shapiro's office and not getting Robert Shapiro into
right.
Your OJ.
Yeah, right. So that's, yeah, exactly. But it's, you know, there's so many complexions, you know. It's like I talk about this. It's like the revenue. You know, it used to be real simple. You know, your box office really mattered, you know, in baseball, right? Now 48.5% of it, and people don't realize this, goes into a pool.
Yeah.
And it's shared equally. And we're talking about parking and signage and all this other, everything. You know, how does that make sense? You know, how, you know, it's like, and what it is you got these small market teams that make profit because of that type of revenue sharing that goes into it. Teams like Tampa are very profitable. Cleveland, very profitable. And the Tigers are not a high-revenue team. They have problems with revenue. They're drawing in basic revenues about the same as the Pittsburgh Pirates. In a larger market, better team, you know, way better team. And, you know, there's really, they've got to correct some of these things to get themselves up. Now, they don't have to go into some kind of bizarre panic mode like they do sometimes, but you understand exactly, you know, what I'm saying. So that's a challenge for Chris Ilitch. That's a challenge for their organization, is how do you get yourself into a better spot that way? They do spend a lot more of their revenue than they're given credit for. And if you're Scott Harris, you cannot take $90 million of your payroll, more than half of it, all right, I think their payroll is 150-something, $90 million of it ultimately, and get like 3.5 war out of that,
yeah,
and most of it out of one player, Gleyber Torres. You know, I mean, $25 million, 0.9 war for Jack Flaherty. You know, the Paddock, the Charlie Morton, all those guys, not much war. You got a little bit out of Finnegan, whose salary actually wasn't that much that they had to incur on it. Nothing out of Seawald. Who else they acquired? Rafael Montero. What was that? Yeah. You know, and they put him out there in fifth inning of a playoff game. Oh, my gosh. What were they thinking?
I don't know.
And it's just really, I mean, who did he acquire that had impact this year? Flaherty, the team had a record that was far below 500 in games that he pitched. And, you know, I think it was they were 78-53 in the games he didn't pitch, and I believe they were 9-22 in the games that he started. Mm. You know, so that wasn't a good value, 0.9 WAR. Like I said, Flaherty fights his ass off and everything, and he did come through in the playoffs, man. That was gutty.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I, you know, but. And I think if they can get him for $20 million, I would take him for sure. But you know, other than you know that, and then Gleyber Torres, who you know he got hurt a little bit later on in the year, but he was good. That was a good signing, and Finnegan. That was a good trade to get Finnegan. The rest of the moves didn't help them win at all. As a matter of fact, set them back. And you know, like you said, the bargain basement thing. You know, where you're bringing in, gosh, every guy that can possibly be. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate Evan doing that. And that was a frank, honest conversation. So check us out. Don't forget to like us, download us, all that stuff where you get your podcasts. Till next time.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.